things in my life I haven't always believed those. I mean, I'm sure there's some things I don't believe tonight about who God is. And if that's true, or you realize at times in your life that's true, then I would just encourage you just to acknowledge that to God. God, right now I don't believe you're good. Or God, right now I don't believe your plan for me is the best. I don't believe you have my best interest. Go ahead and tell God that, because he knows it. And then tell him that you ask him if he'll change your heart, change your beliefs, and then go ahead and live as if what the Bible says is true. And in time, your heart, your beliefs, your heart beliefs about God will change to the truth. I want to give you some principles tonight on what your part is in making good decisions. God's part is guiding us, teaching us. He has a plan for us. He will counsel us. But what is my part in that? The first part is lordship. It's not saying, okay, God, what is your will? Let me see what your will is, and then I'll decide if I want to do it or not. But it's saying, God, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. It's like getting a blank piece of paper from God, signing your name at the bottom, and saying, whatever you want to fill in, God, for my life, that's what I say yes to. Now, you may not be at that point. Somebody said at the Glen Eyre conference last week that somebody, when he was in college, said, are you willing to let God be Lord of your profession? And he said, no, I'm not. And he said, well, are you willing to say, God, I'm not willing to let you be Lord of my profession, but I'm willing for you to make me willing to let you be Lord of my profession. He said, yeah, I can do that. So that may be where you are tonight, or maybe you'll be there somewhere in the future. Just to be honest with God. God, I want to do what I want to do. I don't even want to know what you want me to do. But would you change my heart so my desire is to obey you, to do your will? The second principle is, what does the Word say? There are lots of principles in the Word, lots of promises, and lots of pictures of God, of who God is, of his characteristics. And we need to go to those and see what they say. There's a lot of things God says to do, and a lot of things he says not to do. But Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as we get to know God, as we spend time in his word, as we understand his character, we'll be able to make wise decisions. When I was a junior in college, I looked at all these seniors and they were panicked. What am I going to do when I graduate? And they just were panicked for a long period of time. And I would think, you just don't have it together. You need to trust God. Come on. Well, you know what? When I was a senior, I was scared to death. And I'd go to God and I'd read my Bible and I'd close it, and I was as panicked when I closed the Bible as I was when I went. And that wasn't God's fault. That was my fault for not holding on to his grace and trusting him. But I realized I needed to know a way to make decisions. I didn't know really how to make decisions. I just kind of did what looked good. And as I thought, you know, God isn't going to say, Linda, go teach in the Bible. Or he's not going to say, Linda, go back home to Colorado. And so as I thought and prayed over it, one verse that stuck out in my mind as a principle is Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in the context, God is saying that if you do not know God, if he is not your Lord, then probably what you're doing is running around in life trying to figure out what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You are dealing with things that deal with this earth. And that's okay, because that's all they have. But God is saying, if you're my child, then what I want you to do first is to seek me. To seek me first and my kingdom. And then I will take care of the other things. And so I thought, you know, that is what I'm going to do. If I don't know what the Bible says on an issue, or if it doesn't speak to it, I'm going to pray, God, what will help me seek you first? What will help me move towards your kingdom first? And then that's what I'm going to do. And God, I'll trust you that if I'm wrong, you will correct me. I don't think God is a mean, harsh God. If we are trying to obey him and we don't get it, he'll help us. He'll bring us. We won't miss his will. Well, last October, I found out that Trinity was having a women's retreat, and I was so excited about the speaker, and I couldn't wait to go. And I also was excited about being with the women of Trinity. James and I plan to go overseas next year, and this would be the last time you'd be able to be with the women from Trinity, and I was real excited about going. But in January, it was supposed to be in February, I found out I was supposed to be at a meeting. I'm on the board with Focus International, which sends students overseas for the summer. And I found out they had that meeting that same weekend. And I was very disappointed. So I thought, well, I could call John, the director, and say, John, listen, this has come up. Is it okay if I don't go? Come. But, you know, I just didn't have peace to do that. So what I did is I began to, I wrote a pro and con list down for going to Wichita to the board meeting and a pro and con list for going to the retreat. What would be good about going and what would be bad about going. And then I began to pray about it in light of Matthew 6:33, seeking his kingdom first. I mean, here's this church retreat that was going to be great. And here's this time to send students overseas. And what should I do? Well, both of them seem pretty equal. But as I prayed about it, God brought to mind one of his characteristics, which is his faithfulness. And I had committed to be on this board. And they only asked me to come one weekend a year. And it seemed like God was saying, I am faithful and you need to be faithful to your commitments. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. And so I chose to go to Wichita. Now, I didn't want to go. I was not happy. Matter of fact, the whole week before, I prayed that I would become too sick to drive up to Wichita, but not sick enough to go to the retreat. Well, I woke up Friday and I was well. So I drove up to Wichita, and on the way back, I thought, you know, this was probably not the best weekend of the last year, but it was a good weekend. I felt like I'd made the right decision, and it was a good time. And so it wasn't what I had chosen to do before I went, but I knew that I was doing the right thing as I was following God's character. A third principle is prayer. Have I prayed adequately about this? James 1:5 says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and without finding fault. One of the things I try to do, I mentioned just a minute ago, is when I have a decision, write out the pros and cons of going and the pros and cons of doing something else. And then I start praying through all the pros and cons in light of Matthew 6:33. Now, all my pros and cons are not necessarily religious reasons. I mean, they may just be, I want to do this. Or it may be, you know, somebody else is going to be there that I want to see. But I write everything down I can think of, and I begin to pray through it. And as I pray through it and pray through it, God brings to light what really is important and what really isn't. And often he gives light on what I should do. Now, sometimes you don't have time to do all that. And that's fine. God understands that. But it's those moments of saying, God, I want to do your will. What should I do? So sometimes you'll have a long time to pray over things. Sometimes you won't, and that's fine. The fourth principle is peace, or just the Holy Spirit's inner prompting. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. Kansas State University and the University of Nebraska usually has their spring break down here at our retreat center. And they usually ask people from our staff to speak to the main group and then workshops. And so, you know, I'd be sitting in staff and Max would go around and they're going out to the retreat center to speak and lead workshops. And I didn't go, but, you know, that's okay. It was the first year and then it was the second year and then it was the third year. And I kept thinking, hey, what is the deal? Why aren't they asking me to do something, at least lead a workshop? But they didn't, year after year. Well, one year, I was at home, and Brett Yon called me, and he said, Linda, we'd like for you to lead a workshop. Would you be interested in doing that? And I said, yes! I was so excited. I finally arrived, and I got to speak to them. But there was a sense in my heart, don't do that. Say no. Well, I couldn't say no to Brett Yon, and this was something I'd wanted to do for years. And so I hung up and I kind of said, well, I'll call Brett tomorrow. Well, tomorrow came and I didn't call Brett. And, well, next week I'll call him. Well, I never called him. And then I thought, well, I'll wait till he comes down here and I'll tell him. But of course it's too late then. So the time came right before they were coming and I had about a week that I was going to work, but I had some free time set aside to plan for the workshop. But I didn't know that there were going to be some unexpected friends of mine come that week. And I didn't know that there were going to be some other things that happened that week that trying to juggle my life and work and my friends and this workshop, I had a lot of stress. And I didn't enjoy the time with my friends as much as I had looked forward to and as much as I knew I would or I could. So that, it was a Friday and I was getting ready to work on the workshop and I was praying over it and I knew I shouldn't have taken it. And I just felt like God isn't going to bless this because I disobeyed him. It's not going to be any good. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, your workshop's going to be okay. But I didn't want you to take this because I knew you were having friends come in and other things were going to happen, and I didn't want you to go under the stress that you had to go under this week. I wanted you to be free to enjoy things. And you know, that spoke volumes to me about God, that he wasn't just concerned about the spiritual things, but he didn't want me. He knew that having a workshop was one too many things. And I had no idea my friends were coming until that week. And so when God prompts you to say yes, or prompts you to say no, you may not know all the reasons, but you're not going to know all the facts. And go ahead and obey him. It's not to punish you or to make you miss out. It really is for your good or your protection. Godly counsel. You know, when I'm trying to make a decision, I want to talk to people who are farther along in the Lord than I am. They know God better than I do, and they're a little farther along in ministry. And I want to talk to people who know me pretty well. I feel like it's okay for me to ask my friends what they think, but my major input, I want it to be from people who know God more than I do. They're more mature, they see the blind spot, they're able to be honest with me. And I'd encourage you, it's fine to ask your friends or your peer group, but to find some people who really helped you, who really know you, and ask them what they think, what they feel like God is leading. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And so it's not just going to one person that you know will back up what you want to do. It's going to many people, not the world, everybody, but a few people that you know God and will help you know what he wants, give you different input on it. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. The sixth is circumstances. And those circumstances, obviously if the door closes and it doesn't open, it's not God's will. Sometimes circumstances are from God and sometimes they're from the enemy. As with all of these, we can really miss the boat. But I heard an illustration once that when a ship is going into harbor, he looks for all the lights in the lighthouse to line up. And I've heard that as you are making decisions, what you want is you want all the principles of how you're going to make decisions to line up. And so if circumstances line up, good. If they don't, then to really take that as a question, is that God's will? And the last is timing. And I want to tell a couple stories on that. It may be God's will for you to do something, but it may not be the right time. When I graduated from seminary, I asked my pastor, Harold Bullock, what he thought I should do next. And he said, he gave me several options. Working on staff here was one of them. So I drove up and talked to Max and Carolyn Teague, who was on staff. And then I went back to Fort Worth and I talked to the people who'd really helped me grow in the Lord and asked what their opinions, their thoughts were. And I called my parents. I feel like my parents know me probably better than most people, and I really want to get their input on major decisions. And everybody was like, I don't know. I don't know what you should do. This looks good, but it looks good to stay here. My dad, who basically doesn't, he's kind of like, you do what you want to do, told me not to come up here. So I had all my information, and I spent time with God and did the pros and cons in light of Matthew 6:33. But, you know, I just didn't have any leading. I had no leading to come. I had no leading to not come. The only thing that said anything was my dad, who said no, and I just didn't feel like I could make a decision on that, so I didn't come. About 5 months later, Max Barnett calls me up and says, we would like for you to pray about coming on staff, and we're going to be in Fort Worth in a week, and Sandra and I would like to get together with you. And I said, okay, and I hung up the phone, and I really don't know if I even prayed one time about it. I was not interested in coming here. I really, since I had pursued it the first time, had really set my life a different direction, and I really didn't have any interest in it. But, you know, they were going to be in town, and so I might as well go talk to them. Well, as I talked to them, I thought, hey, this sounds good. Maybe I should pray about it. So I did the same thing. I went and talked to the same people I talked to before. I called my parents. And then I set a day aside to spend with God. And my pastor, who knew me well and knew it was hard for me to make decisions, said, I think you need to make a decision tomorrow night. And then ask God if it's the wrong decision to let you know, but if it's the right decision to really confirm it. Now, it's very hard for me to make decisions, so that might not be true for other people, but I needed to hear that. So I spent a day, set it aside, and prayed through what people had said, and prayed through, should I go to OU? Should I stay in Fort Worth? And, you know, really, seeking God and his kingdom, I mean, this is a great environment in which to do that. And it was a great environment in which to do it in Fort Worth. And so it was like they just seemed like they were equal. But I knew in my heart that God had a will for me. God's will was either for me to be there or here. And I didn't know what it was. So because all my counsel had said go, my parents had totally flip-flopped, they said go, I decided to come to OU. The next morning I got up and went to work. I had to be at work at 5:30. I was a waitress. It was not a glamorous job. I cried the whole day because I was so sad about leaving. I was even sad about leaving the job. I thought, this is ridiculous. But I went home, and I had my quiet time. I was reading in Ezekiel. And I was reading, and this really hadn't happened to me before, but it was like the Holy Spirit stopped me, and a verse leapt out at me, leaped out at me and said, my will is for you to go to OU. There was no question in my mind that was God. And at that second, my heart really did move here. Now I think, 5 months earlier, God did not do that. Why did he do it then? I don't know all the reasons. I think one reason is because he wanted me to know that he could guide me very directly and that I could move here with 100% confidence that this is where God wanted me. And I've needed that confidence. There have been really good years here, but there have been really hard years here, not because of the situation, but because of what God was doing in my life. And I needed to know this is where God wanted me. And some other situations changed in those 4 or 5 months, and so it was much more beneficial for me to come up here. So I don't know. God didn't tell me no the first time, but the second time he told me for sure yes. The second decision is concerning marriage. Like Jeremy and Simi said, James and I have been married 2 years in May, and being single is probably one of the hardest things in my life. It was very, very difficult. It was hard for me to believe that God was good and that God was protecting me and going to give me the best. And I spent a lot of evenings just trying to work through that with God. I called Sandra Barnett and Nancy Edwards. Her husband was on staff here for a while. And they helped me trust God and they'd pray with me. But it was still very difficult for me. One day I was at home and the phone rang and it was a friend and she was getting a divorce. I hung up the phone, and when I hung up the phone, it was really like the Holy Spirit said to me, Linda, if you would have been married, that would have been you. And that really rang true to me. And the reason was because I had some problems and some issues and some sin patterns that I had not worked through until about a year before that. And had I carried those into a marriage, it would have been a disaster, and I would have gotten a divorce. And it was just so kind of God. It was like he took the veil off my eyes and said, I wasn't trying to withhold any good thing from you. I was protecting you. And so when things don't come as quickly as you want, maybe God is protecting you. You don't know the future, but maybe he is protecting you to give you his best. A few months later, James and I started dating, and from the very beginning, I knew James was very serious about pursuing marriage. We weren't just having fun dating. And we dated for about 9 months. And after about 9 months, I started thinking, I didn't have a real peace about staying in the relationship. And as I prayed about it, I felt like I shouldn't break up with him, but maybe I should kind of put our dating on pause. And so we decided to kind of pause for a little while and see what God would say to us. I was thinking it'd be a week or two. It turned out to be about 3 months. And I would spend my spare time asking God, should we continue dating? Should we break it off? And about 3 months later, just as I was spending some time in the Word, it was like God said, I want you to start dating James again. And so we dated then for about 9 months or 6 months, somewhere in there. And we went on a trip together, a mission trip to China with a team. And when we came back, we kind of flip-flopped. James was not so sure that he wanted to pursue marriage. And I was sure this was probably God's will. And so it was so hard for me because he'd been so sure for so long. And now he was backing away. And it was hard for me. What I wanted to do was either get married or just get out of the relationship. I didn't want to have to wait and hang on and have all this turmoil. But I waited and hung on and just really tried to trust God, tried to grow in that, tried to continue to move towards James and just kind of waited. We had decided that we would not get engaged unless we both knew that it was God's will. So one of the problems was James wanted to go overseas, which was not a problem for me because I had really wanted to go overseas, but I didn't want to go alone. So that attracted me to him before we started dating. But my parents do not want me to go overseas. And so I knew that in him asking my dad if he could marry me, if we ever got to that point, my dad really might say no, because he knew that James wanted to go overseas. So I wrestled with that. Where does what my parents say fit into that? And I know different people say different things, but for me, I just felt like they knew me the best, or close to the best, and I wanted their input. And then I just believed that if God wanted James and me to get married, he could change my parents' heart if it was in fact no. He could change their hearts to yes. And if I couldn't trust God with my parents' hearts, then I probably shouldn't be marrying James anyway. So I began to pray that if it was God's will for us to get married, my parents really would give their full approval. Well, sometime in December, when James was spending time with the Lord one sleepless night, God really spoke to him to go ahead and ask me to marry him. And he asked my dad, and my dad gave his blessing. And then he asked me. And I just wasn't for sure. Even though the last few months I had really felt like we were headed that direction, I did not have that confidence that this was God's will. And so he knew that I might say, I'm not sure. And he was very kind and very patient and really accepted that. And we began to spend a couple months just praying over, God, what is your will for us? And it took about 2 months. And one day when I was praying and reading the Bible, it was a very hard 2 months. I was not the picture of somebody patiently waiting on God. It was very hard. I'd go into Max's office every week, and he would try to help me trust God, and he'd tell me about he and Sandra, and he'd pray for me. And it was a real encouragement to me, really encouraged me to wait till God spoke. And so that really would encourage my heart. I'm going to wait till God speaks. And one day he did speak, and it was one afternoon. I was home spending time with the Lord and in the Word, and God did speak for me to marry him. So we got married 3 months later, and we were glad that decision was behind us. But I share those two stories with you because sometimes it's like we don't know what God is saying. And I would just encourage you in those times, if you don't have to make a decision, to wait. God isn't withholding you to be withholding the answer to be mean. There's something else going on. I believe he really protected me in keeping me from not marrying someone else. I believe he really, even though I begged him time and time again that I would be, that he would let me get married, the bottom line was I wanted to walk with God. And right above that, just right above it, was that I wanted to get married. But first, I wanted to walk with God. And I believe he honored that, and he didn't let me marry someone before I dealt with the issues. And then also just how he protected me in not coming up here early. I see that as God's kindness to me. So I want you to look at the two decisions or three decisions, however many you've written down, and I want you just to look at them and make a plan. How am I going to make these decisions? Am I going to make it like, where are you? Are you, God, whatever you want me to do, or do you still need to move that direction? Are you still, God, I'm not willing for you to say no in this area, but I'm willing for you to move my heart that way. Maybe that's what you need to pray over. And maybe your hand is very open. You totally want to obey God, but you don't know what his will is yet. Maybe it's just to spend some time praying over Matthew 6:33, over what is going to help me seek God? What is going to help me seek his kingdom best? And then looking at those other principles we talked about.